RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
All right. Glenn Crowther, Tauranga City Councillor, is back with us to talk about a few issues from that council meeting last week. Glenn, good morning. Welcome back to RCR. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Paul. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. We talked quite a bit before you were elected, and I wonder what it's been like for you since then.
Yeah, it's been busy. The council advertised the job as a three-day-a-week role, and I think the idea was to try and encourage a few more people to run for council. But let me assure the listeners, it is not a three-day-a-week job, and I think my family would say it's probably not a five-day-a-week job either. It's been busy, but it's been good. We've had some challenging issues, but we're making some progress.
Yeah, those people who said that it's a three-day-a-week job, that might be a bit of a tell as to the sort of effort they put in.
Yeah, I was wondering where they got their info from, and I suspect they got it from the commissioners who were here at the time when they advertised it, and it was a three-day-a-week job for them.
Yeah, right, but you found out otherwise. Okay, so this council meeting, 16-hour council meeting, Monday and Tuesday last week. What decision making should we start with? Because there's a few in there. Do you want to start with we start with fluoride because that's the big one for our audience.
Yeah, well, I was, I guess I was in the camp that was a bit disappointed with what the options were that the staff presented us with. And I think you've had Mayor Mahe Drysdale on your show, who I think said the same sort of thing. I tried to get through an amendment that said we would have at least four options around the edge of the city in our neighbouring Western Bay of Plenty district, which is basically people going from their local suburb sort of across the border, if you like. If you imagine being in Auckland or something and you go across the southern border into the Waikato, something along those lines, and you fill up your containers from a tap. But to me, that was even, it was very much a sort of second best effort.
That's ridiculous. Sorry to jump in, but that is just going back to like some kind of 19th century sort of carry on.
Yeah, well, I've been to India a few times and people were saying to me, you could imagine it'd be like going down to the well filling up with water and carrying it back.
On the top of your head.
Yeah, I haven't got the skills that some of these people around the world have. And it is impressive when you see that.
My neck would give out.
Totally. So I wanted something that was a little bit more 21st century, but we're not there yet. I hope that there will be a solution, but I think what it all points to now that the Director General of Health has doubled down on her view that it is safe, in spite of the evidence, that I think it will all come down to that court case. And if that is successful, we're okay. If not, I think it's going to be very difficult because our neighbouring council will also be putting in fluoride in.
You could just, not you personally, but you could just say, no, we're not complying. Sorry, we can't put neurotoxins in the water that could affect the people we're here to represent. They would fold in a minute, Glenn. They'd fold. They'd dissolve away. They'd collapse.
That was my view at the meeting in October. And so in September, we were all talk, I guess you could say. We were saying we weren't going to do it, and we were going to write to the DG and so forth. By October, we did fold ourselves. And I guess I was of the view that we should stick to our principles. Now, having said that, I understand why we collectively didn't do that. The legal advice at the time was saying that there was a chance we would be hit with a fine.
So what? He's spending $300 million on something downtown. Who cares about a couple of hundred K?
No, I think it was when it got personal. So when the councillors were told that we could be personally fined, especially those of us who voted to do what you're suggesting, that we could be. Now, I still voted that way, so I guess I didn't let it put me off.
I would have said, bring it on. Let's have a public scrap. We're going to win. You're going to look like idiots. It'll be the last job you have. Bring it on.
Well, I guess the proof will be in what happens with Whangarei Council. And I guess, you know, that they're the test case now. I thought we might be, but they
They've got balls
and,
compared to you guys.
Yeah,
you guys are just lily-livered wimps. You can push you over with a feather. God. Not you personally, I know, but you know what I mean.
No, I feel a little bit like that, but I see the other side too, and it is a tricky situation. I think that ultimately, as the mayor says, this is up to central government to sort itself out.
Does that mean just say I'm in Tauranga and my kid takes a hit from the neurotoxin, I can come after you guys and say, okay, pay for her care for the rest of our life,
that's your fault.
The
question. Yep, that is the question. That is a good question. And I mean, that's why I voted the way I did, because I didn't want that on my conscience.
So personal greed and safety is worth more than the health of the kids of the nation. Just noting that. That's handy to know. And we could bang on about this forever. We know where you're coming from. What about the decision to approve Mana Whenua to appoint a tangata whenua representative on each of the three main council committees? Does that sound like democracy to you?
Well, I voted against that. I think there is some nuance there, which is that I wasn't opposed to having mana whenua appoint a tangata whenua rep. Well, I prefer it just that they appointed a rep. I don't know why it had to be a race-based representative, but I wasn't totally opposed to Mana Whenua appointing someone on our planning committee, because there is some relevance in having some advice, and they do appoint someone who has skills in that area. So that was okay. But I think the things that I guess I voted against it for was, number one, I did not support giving voting rights to unelected representatives because of having lived under our commission here. The commissioners were here for 3.5 years, I think it was, and that I guess that took away any sort of doubt that I had around why we elect people to represent us on councils and government. And I know democracy is not perfect, but it was better than our commissioners. So that's first thing. The second thing was that there was one of the committees that, for instance, is an audit and risk committee. And there are three councillors on it, and now there'll be one tangata whenua representative. And I, you know, I did speak with a number of locals around, you know, Māori and Pākehā beforehand, and tried to gauge views. We had thousands of emails, mostly from Taxpayers Union and Hobson's, pledged to be fair, but hundreds from locals. And I think it was fair to say there were some mixed views, but the overwhelming number were not supportive of giving the voting rights, and most didn't support putting people onto a committee where all the councillors were not on it. And that's the case with our audit and risk, that it would be basically one tangata whenua rep and three councillors.
Well, that's not a proportional representation at all, is it?
No, but I guess in a way the end game. For a number of having had conversations with them, a number of local Māori and probably, I presume, across the country, when you look at Te Pāti Māori, is probably more along the 50-50 co-governance. I think that's the model they see as the end game here.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on your perspective, because from their perspective, they're probably thinking, well, this is just only one person. We'd like a few more. From my perspective, I still think it should be voted in.
Yeah, okay. Moving on to the decision to sign the contract for the $128 million Civic Whare Exhibition Centre Museum, $152 million including plaza, that's nice, and landscaping. It's a lot of money, and we've talked about that in previous interviews about the money. All right.
Yeah, we talked about this project probably a year ago, before I was on council, and I remember saying at the time, because there's another half of it that we approved in August, for a $103 million library and some associated works, and so all up, it's over $300 million. And so these are huge projects, and I think the thing that got me was we had it a lot of information dumped on us within the last couple of business days before we made our decision. And they, you know, these are, you know, as you hear, multi-million dollar decisions. And we're trying to go through information on the weekend when the staff aren't working and, you know, we've got lots of questions. And I think that's the part that worries me, is that when councils, presumably all around the country, I imagine, could be like this, the mayor was one of the ones who voted for it and puts the case that we got given a bad choice, which is true. We were told we wouldn't save a huge amount of money if we trimmed it got rid of the exhibition centre.
Right, yeah.
But we also, what we didn't get clearly, but which was sort of there if you looked hard enough, was the true cost of operating this, which is $26 million per year to run the whole show. And that's on top of the current operating
costs. Wait on, how do they get to that? Let me just break that down. $26 million, okay, there are wages. How many people are being employed? There's the power. Okay, there's the power. There's the, what other utilities? Are we up to $26 million yet?
No, because the biggest things that push the costs up are the interest costs on the debt. So we borrow the $300 million, and then we pay the interest on it. So that's many millions of dollars.
That's a black hole. Here's a prediction. It's a black hole. You'll never make money. It'll be like the Wellington Convention Centre. No one will book it. Sorry.
Well, it's worse than that, though, because, and this is why I laughed or groaned or something when I heard the Prime Minister say what he said earlier in the year about the Wellington Convention Centre, because he and the Minister for Local Government were bemoaning the fact that Wellington had set out to make a profit on that centre, the convention centre, and they were making a loss. We've set out to make a $26 million loss our complex.
Might as well aim for big.
But it's shocking, really, because this is going to tie into another issue that we covered, which was our annual plan and all the other annual plans after it, which is basically where we set our budget for the year and we look at, you know, what the rates rises are, and this is going to have a big effect on that.
Why couldn't there have just been a hard no on all of that?
Well, there could have been. There was an option that I was pushing, which was to do what I believe the vast majority of people in Tauranga want. There's been a referendum saying they don't want a particular museum that was proposed in the past in 2018. But more importantly, there have been surveys, independent surveys and so on. And what it established was that most people do not want this complex. I wanted to scrap the exhibition centre, scrap the civic whare, and if necessary, incorporate that into a smaller scale museum that was much more affordable. To give you a feel for what this is like, the civic whare, when even under the most aspirational analysis in their business case, they said there would probably be just over 6,000 visits a year to it in a decade after it was built. And I compared that to our local Otamortai pool, yes, which gets about 50,000 visits, so about eight times as many people visiting it right now. In spite of the fact the council's run it down and have removed it from their long-term plan. So, in other words, it will be scrapped unless we do something about it. So this is a local community facility that teaches kids how to swim.
They don't care,
it has,
Glenn.
Eight times the usage.
They don't care. I've got to face it. They just don't care. They don't see it as a priority. It's more about the big dick-swinging developments that we can show off about later in our next set of jobs. I can't believe... Now, Mahi has a background in finance, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
So who's he connected to? Who's he connected to?
Well, I mean, I think there's two things there. One is he's exceptionally good with financial skills, and it's quite reassuring to me to have someone like that leading the council. But in terms of, I guess, what you're getting at is why did he support this?
Yeah.
I suppose, because he must know what, I mean, to be explicit, if there are listeners who understand this, the net present value of what it would be, you know, today's dollars of putting a scale-back version of this like I was proposing, you would have saved hundreds of millions of dollars of ratepayers' money over the next 30 years. Now, he must have known that. I guess one way of answering your question, which is very public, so I'm not disclosing anything that anyone doesn't know, but he got funded by the group of property, some of the property developers who are part of the group called the Urban Task Force that we've spoken about before, mm-hmm. who are pushing these big projects. And there was a lot of pressure from the fact is that the organisation, wants this to happen, the city council staff and
all management. Yeah, who cares about the staff? They can go whistle Dixie. Go find another job, right?
Well, I mean...
Who cares what they want?
I'm trying to explain. Yeah, well, it didn't affect me too much, but I was looking at what the public want. But the issue is that there's probably a lot of pressure there. I don't know why he voted that way, but I suspect that there were a number of factors that, he felt, warranted him to put his vote that way. Mm-hmm. That's the way it went.
We can wonder about that. Okay, and the I think you touched on the annual plan. 10 to 12.5% rates increase for 25-26 financial year. So that's well beyond inflation.
Oh, it's way beyond inflation. So I'm not trying to have a dig at the mayor or the other councillors, but it is clear that a number of us campaigned on having lower rates increases than what was proposed. So that's just a fact of what happened in the election campaign. Now we're on council. Some of us are still in that space, but some of the others are not quite there yet. Hopefully that will change as we hear from the public next year. But the proposal was to go no higher than 12.5%, which was what was in the plan. And I reminded people that they campaigned on doing something less than that. And I also reminded people that inflation wasn't that high at the moment compared to what it had been. So I put forward an amendment that said no higher than that staff would report back on options for no more than 10%. The only reason I did that, to be perfectly blunt, was I thought if I said something like 7% or 8%, yeah. It probably wouldn't have got over the line.
It's too small. What are people going to think with a small increase like that? We've got to be serious here. We want at least 12.5. It kind of feels that way. It's like a game, except those who are setting these can probably afford to bloody well pay them. What about the average person?
Well, to be fair to my colleagues, we're in an absolute financial pickle because the commissioners left us with, they ran up a whole lot of debt after they signed off their plan. They ran up a whole bunch of debt that wasn't even in their plan, in spite of the fact that they left on the 30th of June and we took over, a month later. Somehow, they managed to put tens of millions more debt in before they...
Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, you've got a limited time. You might as well get in as much as you want.
Yeah.
What loser positions have they gone to now, these losers?
Well, I think the big
thing... You can tell I'm venting
a
bit.
Yeah.
But they are, the losers. Thing. Look what they've settled you guys up with. And then they waltz away.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't talk about the Marine Precinct and issues like that, which are before the courts, but there are a number of those issues that they incurred more money, more spending on. But also, they didn't have a balanced budget. So that's what we have, and I think the Mayor has taken a strong lead there. And the difference, just so the audience is clear, that the balanced budget talks about what you're spending in a given year. So this is like your money in, money out. So we're getting on top of that, and I think the council's doing a great job, the councillors, to actually get the budget to be balanced.
The badger.
And that way we won't make the debt any worse.
Yeah.
But what we're not getting on top of is how to actually claw back all these expensive projects which are adding to
you
the debt.
You can them all. You just can them. It's easy. Sorry, it's over. The gravy train has stopped. Everyone's celebrating when they hear that.
Of course, the worst thing, from my point of view, is that there are some projects that I think, or facilities and things that I think would be fantastic. We're short on sporting facilities. People are getting turned away from playing basketball, cricket, football. This is really crucial.
You mean the everyday stuff of life, Glenn, is what you're saying? Yeah.
And so we have got no room for error. We've got no margin to put in these projects that some of us want. So even if we manage to keep the rates down to only 10% a rates increase, this still won't be all these extra facilities put into the plan.
All right. And to finish up, decision to consult on options for water reform, either two or three waters. Can you tell us a bit more about
that? Yeah, so the listeners will no doubt recall one of the big issues leading up to the general election was Labor's ill-fated waters reform.
Three, five, ten waters. It sort of got up there. Yeah.
So the idea was that you take the water supply, the wastewater system and the stormwater, and you put it into this big organisation that was going to make it more efficient. Now, I think organisations like Castalia did independent research on it, and they poo-hooed that plan. And then there was the political dimension, which meant it got scrapped when the coalition government came in. They've got their local waters done well, which is basically the National Party.
Local waters done well. Is that the name of the policy?
That's National's policy.
What a piss-weak name. For God's sake, we're living in a country of vanilla mediocrity. Tell me that title again. I need to lock it in. What are they calling it?
Local Waters Done Well.
Local Waters Done Well.
Yes.
Oh, so, God.
So the aim here is to give communities more flexibility about what we want collectively in our communities. What's become clear over time is that although this government is definitely different to the last one, that there's still a lot of push from central government to, you know, it's like you can do whatever you want so long as it fits with what we want as well.
Yeah.
And what they want is they want growth. And they want efficiency, and they have a strong view that we should divest, like council should get rid of its waters assets and put them in a CCO, which is a council-controlled organisation.
And then you start billing and then have the water meters and all that.
Well, there'll be the water meters, but I'm a big supporter of that, having lived in Tauranga, and it doesn't make it more expensive. I'll tell you what will make it more expensive, which is that when we looked at our own 10-year plan, waters is going to go up 10% per year for the next 10 years. So we're talking going from I think it's 500 for water, wastewater and stormwater. When you add them in, you're talking $2,000 a year for a typical rate.
Why is it going up? It'll go to
$4,500 per year just for waters by 2034 in Tauranga. That's before we do all the stuff the government wants us to add in as well. So the reason it's going up is because, allegedly, it's because the infrastructure costs are just so expensive now and the water standards need to be higher. Now, we've had no problem.
What do you mean water standards higher? You mean like no fluoride?
Well, I mean, that's not a huge cost, to be fair. I think what it comes down to is when you look at Wellington, you can see where things can go off the rails. And I think our previous councils have done pretty well in waters. And water meters has been a positive, and I do support that around the country. I think people should not be scared of water meters because it's led to lower costs here in Tauranga than it would have been otherwise.
As long as it's done well.
Yeah, done well. But the issue that I'm concerned about is that there's a big push right now for councils to get rid of their waters assets, and it has a deja vu thing for me, which is that it sounds very much like, and any listeners who were around in the 1990s will remember this, Max Bradford talking about the electricity reforms and saying, we're just going to corporatise it, we won't sell anything, it'll be more efficient, it'll reduce costs, it'll mean cheaper power for all New Zealanders, and look where we got to.
Yeah, right. Now people are switching off the heaters. All right. Okay, good to catch up with you, Glenn.
Yeah, great to talk to you, and have a great Christmas.
You too.
Same to all the listeners.
All right. Thanks for coming on and for the work you do and being so accessible. And it's been interesting seeing your journey in as well.
Yeah, it has been a journey, that's for sure. And we've got four more years here, actually.
Okay.
While everyone else has elections next year, we're still going.
As long as it's done well.
Yes.
All right, you got to do it well and get it back on track. All right, thank you, Glenn Crowther, Tauranga City Councillor, for coming in this morning. Have a great day.
Thanks, Will. You too.
All right.
Bye.
RCR is on a mission to revive honest media. It's a good mission, and now you can be an integral part of it by joining the RCR Foundation Members Club. Receive exclusive benefits only available to club members, including discounted merch, your backstage pass to join the host for interactive behind-the-scenes discussions and the popular daily curated news summary, RCR Bytes. Delivered to your email inbox every weekday morning, keeping you on the pulse of the news that matters in just a few minutes per day. To find out more, check out www.realitycheck.radio/members or click the FMC button on the bottom right of your RCR app.